Good afternoon. Welcome. Thanks for being with us. I'm Tom Hall. It's midday, and today we'll continue our series of conversations with the candidates. My guest is Takesha Martinez, the mayor of Hagerstown. She's a Democrat, one of 16 candidates running for Congress in the 6th Congressional District. The incumbent in that seat, Representative David Trone, is running for the Senate against Prince George's County Executive Angela Alsobrooks. District 6 in the northwest part of our state includes all of Garrett, Allegheny, Frederick, and Washington counties, as well as part of Montgomery County. Takesha Martinez's journey in politics has been unusual. She was elected to the Hagerstown City Council in 2020. In February of last year, Mayor Emily Keller resigned as mayor to join Governor Wes Moore's administration as the Maryland Special Secretary of Opioid Response. The Hagerstown City Council unanimously appointed Takesha Martinez as the mayor until a new election is held in November of this year. So now Mayor Martinez is running for Congress in the May primary. Mayor Martinez was born in Hagerstown. According to her campaign website, she grew up in the foster care system. She experienced occasional homelessness, and by her mid-20s, she had 5 children and a lot of trauma to deal with. A spoken word artist and trained mediator, at age 45, she is now the first Black mayor of her hometown. You are welcome to join our conversation with Mayor Martinez, 410-662-8780, our email midday at wipr.org. And Takesha Martinez joins me on Zoom from Hagerstown. Madam Mayor, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So tell us about how you grew up. You were born in Hagerstown. And talk about your childhood and the experiences that you had at that time in your life.
Sure. Thank you, Tom. Yeah. So born and raised in Hagerstown, Maryland, my mom was the youngest of 9 children that her mom gave birth to. She was the only girl. She had me at 17, almost 18 years old, by a married man that was in the military in Fort Ritchie. My grandfather was a dignitary and a minister here in Hagerstown. And my mom's brothers and family were kind of very, very maybe upset with my mom because she had great opportunities to make better choices. So 6 months after I was born, my mom's mom passed away with me in the bed with her, is the story that I hear. And my mom had a nervous breakdown. I don't like to tell my mom's story, except that it's very important to understand how much trauma has impacted from womb, you know, until now, and how much healing had to be done in order for me to do what I do now. My grandfather had placed me with a family that was familiar, and I was with them until maybe mid-80s, maybe early 90s, where you couldn't just kind of like have someone's kid because you went to church with them. You had to, you know, you had to have state adoption or foster care papers, legal custody. And so that's when the process of court began. Sorry, there's a siren passing by. But that was when the process of when court in the system kind of came into my life. The woman that I was with was the Turner family. She went through the process that she needed to go through to become a foster parent. And I pretty much stayed with this particular family throughout my life. There was times where I would have to go stay with somewhere else or, you know, I even went back with my birth mother at a time in middle school. And some of my memories were, you know, I'm very traumatic during middle school. The police kicking in the door, my mom active addiction. There was some really good things, going to NA meetings with my mom, celebrating with my mom every time she got better or recovery. And so I grew up in the foster care system, but I grew up with a family. And this is where the values, the family values and the principles that I use to do the work that I do come in. I had 2 moms. And so I get to age 25 and I had 5 children. And the reason why is because I just started rebelling. I didn't know who I was. I didn't understand my family story. I couldn't talk to my mom. I was very angry with her without understanding what happened to her. And so I just cycled. I cycled out of control. I did belong to a church until 17 years old, Harvest Baptist Church, where I was at times the only Black girl in the room, but I enjoyed it. It was a family to me. And so that's how I grew up. I grew up going to church. I played the violin. I liked the orchestra. I've always wrote poetry, but I had a lot of trauma and there was a lot of dysfunction and there wasn't a lot of help or understanding around what I was going through. And then by the time I had children, it was, you don't have a mental illness and you don't have an addiction. So there was not a lot of help for me coming out of foster care system. And I'll pause there because I know that was a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. And it's really, it's an amazing story. And, you know, the experiences there, you can imagine, you know, would be just really, really formative for you. How is your mom now? Is your mom still with us?
Yes, my mom is. My mom actually not that long ago graduated from college with a business degree in administration. She has been in recovery for a long time. I don't really like to tell her story. I love to hear her be able to tell it now. We were sitting in a room together where I was facilitating a conversation and my mom showed up and it was with local police officers here in Hagerstown. And she said something that I never heard her say before. She said to the chief of police, you know, every time I may have gotten arrested for doing something wrong or, you know, being out of order, the officer was always good to me. And I believe that it was because they knew who my brothers were. They knew who my daddy and my mom was. And that shifted my perspective because I didn't realize that my mom started taking accountability. And when she started taking accountability for where she went wrong, that helped me be able to take accountability.
Well, God bless her. I'm glad that that has all, you know, her journey has led her to where she is today. That's great. And in terms of your journey into politics, there you are in your mid-20s. You have a large, young family. And you did a number of things. I mean, you're a spoken word artist. You worked a number of jobs. What kinds of employment did you were you able to get? How did you support such a large family, all those kids?
Yeah. So there is when warehousing came, there was Your Other Warehouse, and I remember my youngest daughter, who's 22 now, was about 2. And I got a job and I started driving a forklift. And I had worked the front desk of hotels. Like my first job was at the front desk of the Ramada that was owned by the Turner family here in Hagerstown. And it was because my sister, which is who I grew up with, she's 10 years older than me and she knew them. And so like my first job was learning how to run a front desk and check people into rooms. So having children, I remember the first job that I was able to pay all my bills was a warehouse driving the forklift. I shifted into a Boys and Girls Club around the time my third youngest daughter was about 5. And I started working for the Boys and Girls Club and going to college at Hagerstown Community College. And that was what shifted me into mentoring and helping youth. But I only made $6 an hour there. But I developed a teen program and it was really easy for me to do because I knew what I needed when I was a teenager. And so I just did that. I developed a teen program called Teens with Priorities. I learned how to play chess and pool. I built great relationships with kids then. And that led me into working with the youth. I left when my daughters were young and we tried to, it was a lot. I was going through a lot of different things. Homelessness, trying to stay afloat. We left and moved to Baltimore, actually, in Northeast Baltimore. In Northeast Baltimore, right up in we lived in Marble Hall. And I remember the first day that we had got there, I walked across the street and I was handed a flyer for open mic night. And I went that next week to open mic night in Northwood Shopping Center. And I did that every Tuesday for years. And that's where I had been writing poems since before I can remember. But I say I'm born and raised in Hagerstown, but I grew up in Baltimore because that's when I found my voice. And then I came back from Baltimore after a traumatic experience in a relationship I was in. He was killed by police. I came back to Hagerstown with my daughters. And that led me into, am I going to work to heal home or am I going to keep trying to run away from home?
Hmm. So instead of running away, you stayed and thought, what can I do to help? You got into to conflict mediation. How did that particular part of your journey come about?
So the conflict mediation, community mediation was coming to the community center where I was the program director at. And how I became the program director at this community center in the same community I grew up in is because I told my daughters to stay out of it after something happened there, a man exposed himself to some kids by the pool. And so I told my daughters to kind of stay out of that community, you know, which is the Jonathan Street community, which I grew up in, which was kind of weird for me to say, but I didn't want to fight. I was non-confrontational. And my kids just refused to. My youngest daughter, Journey, just refused to stay from the community center. So I started going. Every time I would get off work, I would go to the community center with them. Well, I started volunteering there and teaching poetry workshops. And I had been in Baltimore for a while. And so I would call some of the poets that I had bought their CDs and I'd have them come to Hagerstown and I'd do a poetry show. I'd pay them $100. They, you know, if we get them a hotel room, they would sell all of their material out here. And it became like, from the poets in Baltimore, this became like a great place to come and be able to speak to kids. So mediation was coming into the building during a time where I was hosting open mics, Spit Your Piece. I was flying poets in from all over. I had already developed kind of a name for myself, and it was Firefly. It was different. It wasn't Takesha or Keisha who had left here traumatized. I came back. I had natural hair. My daughters had gotten older, you know, and so mediation comes in and they hired me to do poems after one of their trainings. And that's how I got introduced to the program of mediation. The mayor at the time was Dave Geisbergs, and we had went to high school together. He is a little bit older than me. I remembered him in the hallways. He would come into the community center as well. He was the president of the mediation board. So once I got a contract and I did poems for them, it then shifted me into something else. I started, you know, being able to do poems at different places where I kind of liked to host the poetry, not do the poems. But it was a challenge for me. And so a position became available after I got fired from the community center, which is a whole nother story.
Oh, I bet it is.
A position became available at the mediation, community mediation, and I did not want the job. They actually called me in there and was like, we want you to do outreach. You can do exactly what you're doing now. We'll pay you a salary, and we just want you, you know, to get trained. And I said, I do not want to sit in people's conflict. I have way too much of my own. Like, just try it. So I took the job. It was double my salary. And when I took the job and I started to understand the principles of conflict resolution, it changed my life. Like, it changed the way I seen everything. So I'm doing the work. I'm going in the school system. I'm going in the prison system. I'm facilitating these conversations, but I'm still at home. And that's how I got into mediation. I got into it from being an artist.
Mayor Takesha Martinez is my guest. She is the mayor of Hagerstown. She's a candidate to fill the open 6th District congressional seat. So let's take us up then to the time that you are in 2020. This is 4 years ago. You're elected to the Hagerstown City Council. How did you decide to run for an elected position on the City Council?
Well, people have been telling me that I needed to file to run when I got back to Hagerstown, because I was doing poetry. I was known as Firefly. People were saying, you need to run, you need to run. I'm thinking, absolutely not. If I cannot show up in tennis shoes and with a hoodie on, I'm probably not going to do it. Like, I like what I do now. So when I finally decided and knew that I was going to run was when my landlord called me one morning, and I owed him for rent. And I answered the phone. It was a Saturday morning. I'll never forget. I answered the phone. And I said, Dennis, I said, I'm doing a show. I'm going to perform. He said, that's not why I'm calling you. He said, I had a dream about you and God showed me who you were and you need to run for political office. And if you do that, this Republican 65-year-old white man will knock on doors and tell people that you are the real deal. And that's when I knew that I needed to file to run. And so I filed the day before my daughter's birthday. I threw up. I had to call my pastor. I walked in and walked back out. I changed my mind so many times. I had already kind of developed. I was really going to file the run because it was going to be hard for me. But at the same time, there was a lot of conflict within the leadership in the city of Hagerstown. So I kind of didn't want to. But when I paid that $25 and I walked out the office after I did it, there was a sense of relief. I knew I had done what I was most scared to do, and I knew at the same time I had answered the call into government, into politics.
And it all came from Dennis the Landlord's dream. That's
It
really
did.
quite something. That's amazing. So that was just 4 years ago. You've been on the council. We have a caller from Hagerstown. Grace is on the line, who I think has a question about your tenure as mayor. Grace, welcome to Midday with Mayor Takesha Martinez.
Hi, Mayor. Thanks for taking my question. I was curious because your time in the mayor's role has been so short because of the way that you stepped up to fill the need. I feel like we haven't really seen a lot of your potential there. So I wanted to know what do you feel is your greatest accomplishment since you've been mayor, and how will you use that to propel you forward into your next role if you are successful with this campaign?
Thank you, Grace, so much for the question. And the question comes often about, if I got elected 4 years ago to city council, I just got appointed to mayor last year. Should I give more? Should I do more in local politics in order to show that I am qualified to be the Congress, right? And what I will say is that my work began 20 years ago in Hagerstown. Councilwoman Burnett, that's sitting right beside me, was actually in my first teen program. And so I've done a lot of work facilitating conversations, doing mediation within this community. And within politics, it did not take me long once I got inside the door. Once I got in the door as a councilwoman, I listened very closely. I didn't talk much, which was ironic and weird for me because I'm a talker. I didn't talk much. I listened and I learned. And so when the opportunity, I also knew that being within Western Maryland and doing this work within local politics was putting me and my family at risk. And so I knew that I was not going to do local municipal government politics for long. So when the seat for Congressional District 6 opened up, and after a lot of talking with my colleagues, because finishing this as a nonpartisan mayor is the most important. I feel that the work that I do every single day, not campaigning, but showing up as the mayor of the city, showing up and facilitating conversations, doing the exact same work, qualifies me to represent this district. And I understand that it seems fast, but it really hasn't been fast. The underground work that has been done has qualified me to help mediate a divide at a much higher level.
And I'm
I'm
sorry,
sorry.
Madam Mayor, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and talk more about this. I'm particularly interested in why you think it has put your family at risk to be in an elected position as the mayor of Hagerstown. So I apologize for interrupting, but we do have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Mayor Takesha Martinez of Hagerstown. She's a candidate in the 6th District Democratic primary for Congress. To join our conversation, 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is 88.1 WYPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, it's the Midday News Wrap. I'll speak with WYPR senior reporter Rachel Bay about the first installment in her series on juvenile justice. She's spent about a year reporting on it. And Benjamin Orr of the Maryland Center on Economic Policy will talk about the Fair Tax Coalition, which is advocating for tax reform in this year's General Assembly. Plus, J. Wynn Russick and I will speak with the award-winning playwright Karen Zacharias about her book club play, which is opening at the Everyman Theater this week. So that's all on the way tomorrow. If you just joined us today, we're continuing our series of conversations with the candidates with Hagerstown Mayor Takesha Martinez, who was elected to the Hagerstown City Council in 2020 and appointed mayor by her colleagues on the council last year. Mayor Martinez is running for Congress to represent the 6th Congressional District. That district is currently represented by Representative David Trone, who is running for Senate in the May primary against Prince George's County Executive Angela Alsobrooks. The 6th District includes all of Garrett, Allegheny, Frederick, and Washington counties, as well as a little bit of Montgomery County. You are welcome to join our conversation with Mayor Martinez, 410-662-8780. If you have a question or comment, or email midday@wipr.org. So, Madam Mayor, I apologize for interrupting before we went to a break, but you were elected to the city council, and then when Emily Keller, the mayor at the time, left to work in the Moore administration, the council itself appoints a mayor from, I guess, from among its ranks, or could it be from anyone in the town? How does that process work in Hagerstown?
Well, there wasn't a process laid out. And so we chose the process first. The five of us voted on what the process was, and we decided as a body that we wanted to appoint someone from within the body. And so three of us, the following executive co-session, three of us threw our name on the table for mayor. It was myself, former mayor, and at the time also council member Rob Bruschi, and then council member Kristen Ashire. And so we met for probably 4 weeks after that in closed executive session, because then we needed to have two votes plus our own in order to be appointed to mayor. And so there was a series of conversations that were not easy, that were very difficult at times, but I walked out with unanimous vote. And Grace, I heard Grace ask me what was my greatest accomplishment since being mayor. And I would say that it is keeping the cohesiveness that we had beforehand, but also looking, overseeing right now $300 million worth of development and my elected body, us moving in a way that Hagerstown hasn't really seen an elected body move very much together.
Yeah, and that's it's tricky, that dynamic then, because here you are, you've been appointed mayor by a unanimous vote. But that obviously indicates that the two people who also threw their hat in the ring ended up voting for you. I mean, you seem to be able to keep the cohesion there, even in a potentially really divisive moment.
Yes, very much so. And both members of the elected body, that Councilmember Ashire and Bruschi, were both on the part of Hagerstown politics and within this county for almost two decades. And so part of my argument was, I didn't know you guys appealed to me or anyone that looked like me two decades ago. And I can say that with full integrity because I have done a lot of conflict resolution work. And so me being authentic and very real at the table, no matter what, is easy for me.
Mayor Takesha Martinez of Hagerstown is my guest. It's midday. It's one of our conversations with the candidates installments today. Mayor Martinez is running in the Democratic primary for the House of Representatives in the 6th Congressional District. Again, our number 410-662-8780. Our email midday@wipr.org. So, Madam Mayor, we have an email from a constituent of yours in Hagerstown. This is from John, who says, "My wife is a teacher at South Hagerstown High and is proud of it. What will you do to support teachers as the targets on their backs grow?" So in terms of if you are elected to Congress, in terms of national legislation, what would your approach to education be? And it's interesting that John gives the formulation, "How would you support teachers as the targets on their backs grow?"
Yeah, I have to say, thank you, John, for that. And thank you to your wife for being a teacher at South Hagerstown High. I went to North High, but I do understand the importance of us not sharing that rivalry right now while I'm answering this question. I would say with education, that was my focus as a mediator. I went inside of the school system and to help build that divide that was happening between teachers and the whether it was the union or their supervisor or administrators, but then also helping teachers and supporting teachers as a peace circle keeper that would then help heal within the classroom if there was things happening. And so I'm very familiar with South Hagerstown High School. I was supposed to be there actually this evening, which is so interesting, but I'm gonna be in Baltimore. How will I support teachers is I will advocate for them at the highest level because I know how important it is that we have our teachers, that they have a safe working environment. I understand that because of my work within conflict resolution and also my advocacy for teachers way before I even thought about politics. I was trained with two teachers from South Hagerstown High and one from Bester in Denver, Colorado. And that was to be able to be a support person on the outside. I would take that into national politics with me, that experience into Congress. The National Education Association paid for me to be trained and my daughter to be trained to come into the school system. And so yes, there is a target on teachers' backs. Teachers, I feel, need way more support. When I was a mediator, I put in for an MOU to go into the school system all over, but that didn't go through. What happened was I had to build individual relationships with administrators to get access to the school system. And so if your wife would please reach out to me or give me a call, I would love to start to support her right now.
And you mentioned before the break that you thought that being in elective office in Hagerstown has put your family at risk. In what way? What do you mean?
Well, I would say to be amongst the people and to be with the people and to not shift and to become a more of a polished politician is so dangerous for me. I am the CEO of the largest municipality within the Eastern Panhandle. I serve on multiple boards throughout within Western Maryland, but then also between Martinsburg and West Virginia and Pennsylvania. And I strongly believe that in order for me and my family to do this work, I have to stay authentic. I have to stay keeping the people first and not what's happening to me or around me first. And so that makes it dangerous because you can't sway me. I can't be bought. How do I know that? Is because I'm still here. You know, I work very, very hard every single day as a conflict resolution specialist, but then also as a poet in order to still provide for my family. I have four daughters that live here and seven grandchildren. I live on a main road. There has been threats on my life as a Black woman in this area. And so when I say it's dangerous, that I understand that a danger that it puts me in, and I also understand the protection that's around us because of the work that I'm doing, my heart is pure.
And if you win the primary and are in a general election for Congress, do you think that level of danger continues? Does it increase? Does it dissipate? How do you gauge it if you end up on the district-wide, you know, congressional district-wide stage rather than the stage of Hagerstown itself?
I think that it will increase, and the danger is less about the threat of the things that are happening around me as a Black woman here and my daughters, right? It's more about what I've come from and what I have done in this community and how important it is that my daughters have the freedom and the space to be regular, you know, because it is very difficult at times. And so that I do believe it will increase, but at the same time, I believe that we're being prepared for it and prep for it. We do a lot of work in the community. It's not just the work that I do. My daughter works for the juvenile facility right out on Roxbury Road. My next door neighbor is a retired police officer. And so I say dangerous, but at the same time, I do feel safe at home.
Democrats and Republicans run their primaries. So the election that's coming up on the 14th of May is a primary election. So Democrats will vote for a Democratic nominee and Republicans will vote for a Republican nominee. In both parties, they will certainly take into account the prognosis for the person that they would nominate to win in the general election in terms of electability. There are seven Republicans who are competing for their nomination, and they include Delegate Neil Parrott, who has run two other times and come close two other times in this district. It also includes Delegate Dan Cox, who has pretty significant name recognition because he was a candidate for governor, and he lost by a lot, actually, to Governor Wes Moore. But in terms of electability, what is the advocacy for your candidacy that you can make that makes you the most electable and the most competitive with whomever the Republican nominee is in the 6th district?
I live in the district, and I already have to, I've already gone up against Republicans in the district and won. And I say that as with a unanimous vote for mayor, but then also I do a lot of work in the district. I have a movement that's already here, that's already happened, 20,000 individual contributions. And so there, my average is $25 contribution. And so people aren't giving me $25 and saying, we want you to do this when you get there. People are saying, I'm proud of you. And I believe that once, if I'm the candidate to make it pass the Democratic, and is the Democratic nominee, then I can beat Neil Parrott or Dan Cox, whichever one it is. And I know that. I know that because of how much diplomacy that I already have here.
And in terms of the issues that you think are top of mind for Democrats, I know that we hear from Republicans across the country that the issues that they want to concentrate on are the deficits, crime, and immigration. Do you think any of those three, because the 6th district is really, you know, it's a mix of conservative liberals. You've got liberals in Montgomery County. You've got much more conservative people in Western Maryland. To win a general election, you've got to appeal to a wide swath of ideologies in that district. Do you think those three issues that other Republicans have brought up, deficits, crime, and immigration, will be the main issues that folks in the 6th district will be worrying about come time for the general election?
Yeah, I do believe that's a huge part of it, but I believe that public safety is the number one thing, is if you don't have a safe district, and it's about people feeling safe. And I understand that as a mediator, that a feeling of safe is different than what the data says. But also coming from facilitating conversations between the police and the youth, and between the community and elected officials, I feel I have a good pulse on how to bring us to consensus on and training and reform, but the also reproductive health. And I rolled out a woman's agenda, which is on my website, which is a full comprehensive agenda of how I plan to advocate for women. I have 4 daughters, 7 grandchildren. That's very, very important. I believe immigration and a clear path to immigration is important to folks. And then also the deficits. As a mayor here in Hagerstown, Maryland, deficits is also important, and being able to reshift where finances go and balance them.
The Maryland congressional delegation is going to change dramatically. We'll have a new senator and we'll have 3 new representatives in the House of Representatives. Currently, there are no women in the delegation. There are some African Americans, but they're men. So there are certainly no African American women in the congressional delegation in Maryland. Why? Obviously, if you are elected to this office, it would be an historic election. You wouldn't be the first black woman to serve in Congress for Maryland, but you'd be the first woman to serve in Congress and the first black woman since, in quite some time. I think Donna Edwards was the last African-American woman to be in the delegation. If in fact, you know, your election would be an historic event, why do you think the historicness of that event should be important to voters. Do you think it should be important to voters?
Yeah, I think that it's important for those of us that have been are raised in Western Maryland and on up to Mountain Maryland, is for Allegheny County, you know, and Garrett County. There's a Black population that comes up into Appalachia, you know, and I think that representation for us matters as well. Our values are the same. It's just that we grew up with a different type of way that you have to get through when you grow up as a Black woman in a conservative county. You know, our diplomacy has to be different. Our leadership has to be different. And so I think that that's why it's very important. It's important when I walk into a room and there's a little girl that looks like me and she says, "Oh my God, your hair, it looks like mine," or "it looks like my mom's." And I hear from, you know, 70-year-old Black women that grew up, born and raised here during very intense times, racial divides, and that say, "Wow, if a woman of your stature would have walked into my classroom, how would that have helped me? How would that have shifted the trajectory of my life?" And I think about that myself. And so, yes, for those very reasons, it matters, because we're here and I haven't felt represented or safe with the Democratic Party all my life, or with any party all my life, you know. And so when you have representatives that come from Montgomery County or representatives that live outside the district, it's hard to connect with a hometown home person that, you know, may just be doing poetry or working in a local community center in their area, but they're actually doing things that reconcile and heal. And I think that when you keep putting people into position that may have the accolades, may have the money, but don't have the leadership within their communities, I think that's the problem with politics.
Mayor Takesha Martinez, she's the mayor of Hagerstown. She's running in the Democratic primary for the House of Representatives in the 6th Congressional District. We'll have more with Mayor Martinez when this edition of Conversations with the Candidates continues on the other side of a quick break. To join our conversation, our number 410-662-8780, or you could drop us an email, midday@wipr.org. I'm Tom Hall. We'll be right back.
This is 88.1 WYPR.
Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Representative John Sarbanes and Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger are two of nearly 50 members of Congress who have announced their retirement this year. Each member of the House and the Senate who is leaving is doing so for his or her own reasons, but frustration with the legislative process, which is frequently disrupted by extreme members in the majority caucus in the House, is surely a contributing factor to this mass exodus. If you've just joined us today, it's another installment in our series of Conversations with the Candidates. My guest is the mayor of Hagerstown, Takesha Martinez. She was appointed mayor of her hometown when the former mayor, Emily Keller, left office to join the Moore Miller administration in Annapolis. Mayor Martinez is running in the May 14th primary to become the Democratic nominee in the 6th Congressional District in the northwest part of our state. And like the race for the Democratic nomination in the 3rd District, the field in the 6th is large. 16 candidates are seeking the nomination, including Delegate Joe Vogel, the youngest member of the Maryland General Assembly, and April Delaney, the wife of former Maryland Congressman John Delaney. The 6th District is one of three open House seats in this election cycle, along with Districts 2 and 3. Most observers think that the general election race in the 6th District will be the most competitive contest in the state this year. The 7 Republicans on the ballot in the GOP primary include former state delegate Neil Parrott, who has run 2 other times, and former state delegate Dan Cox, the Republican nominee for governor who lost by a wide margin to Wes Moore in 2022. Mayor Takesha Martinez is with me on Zoom today. Until the top of the hour, you can be with us as well. Our number 410-662-8780, our email midday@wipr.org. So, Madam Mayor, just want to be clear so that for the folks in Hagerstown so they know how these calendars interconnect. You were appointed mayor until November of 2024. So if you are successful in the primary, you will run in the general election in November rather than for mayor. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And if you're not successful in the primary, you would still be able to stand for mayor of Hagerstown again in November. Is that right?
No. My administration, I got elected 2020. My administration finishes in November. And so this is the same election cycle. I'd need to be on the ballot right now. My daughter's name's on the ballot for city council, my youngest daughter. So there's a Martinez on there for local.
Okay, so you're not on the ballot for the local office anymore.
No.
Okay,
I'm not.
Just want to make sure that the folks in Hagerstown are aware of that. Why the move? I mean, you alluded to this a little bit earlier in the show, but what about Congress appeals to you and a job there? Given the fact that you have such close ties, such an intimate, life experience in the town of Hagerstown, what makes you want to go to Capitol Hill?
Yeah. So as I've been, first of all, I want to say my grandmother cleaned for the mayor of Hagerstown in the 70s before she passed away. And my grandfather did a lot of work, and I didn't find out about that stuff until I was on the campaign trail. And so I found a lot out about my legacy and about who, you know, my grandparents and my uncles were. And so now people say, why not just say you're the face of a renaissance? It's Hagerstown's, you know, time. Why not stay the face of your hometown, the mayor? Why not do that? And because that would be very selfish. I have to be honest, that would be selfish. It's not difficult for me to be the mayor. It's not, the difficult part of me being the mayor is making sure that I'm staying very diplomatic, that I'm staying very nonpartisan, and that I'm helping to get things accomplished for the city of Hagerstown. This county is a red county. The major systems, our court system, our healthcare system, our school system is governed by county government. And so that's red, where there's a lot of political divide that happens here. And I want to be a part of helping that heal, not just in Washington County, but all the way up until Garrett County. There are Black communities within these districts that do not know the history. And the reason why they don't know the history is because it's been purposely buried. And I want to do it in a safe way. I want to help expose it in a safe way that helps restore at the same time. And I have a record of doing that. I have a record of being that person.
There are several people running for Congress in various districts that have called for term limits for members of Congress. I know one of the candidates in the 3rd District, Juan Dominguez, suggests 12 years, so 6 terms for Congress. Do you support term limits for members of the House and the Senate?
Yes, I do. I believe that's important. I think that what I've learned about being in local politics is you get in, you do what you're supposed to do, you stay in your lane, you learn, and you get out. And I think people get into these seats and they hold them and they stay there. And that's why old mindsets don't die. That's why things don't get done. You know, my administration is cutting the ribbon on more places than the administrations have done in 20 years. Within 20 years in Hagerstown, there was $45 million worth of development. Right now, there's $300 million worth of investment in development. That's huge for this time. And I don't believe that I'm supposed to stay here and be, you know, the superhero of this area. I believe that I'm supposed to do this across the entire district. I've done it as a renter. I've done it only on a mayor's salary. I'm still doing it on a mayor's salary. We talk about the candidates in this, man, the sacrifice, you know, I'm doing this on a mayor's salary. My sacrifice is huge. This is up or out for me, and I'm okay with it either way.
What committees do you think you would prefer to serve on if you're elected to Congress?
Definitely a public safety, because of my mediation within, you know, because of my skill set within mediation and my experience with policing and trauma, but then also labor and education is extremely important to me. I'm here in Hub City. We're a blue collar area. and know that about hard work. Also farming, you know, making sure to protect agriculture is also important. I love horses. I love taking my grandkids out to the farm areas. And so all of those things, I think that I will be super focused on.
And when it comes to immigration policy, that, of course, is a very contentious issue in the current Congress, as it's been in many previous Congresses. What do you think the key to solving the immigration dilemma is?
I think there needs to be a pathway to citizenship. And I also believe that it's going to take folks really being super focused on that, to develop and to pass laws on a pathway to citizenship that is clear. I believe that Congress shifts and changes, and maybe even if it's only a little bit, with new members coming in and things like that, and that the people at the table, and I say the table, and it's 435 members, but forget the most important thing of the people in their districts, and that's getting things done no matter who's in position. And so I would like to just be a helper of helping to facilitate government and heal divides in that way so that we can get work done. I learned from local politics, you can't get work done because everyone's coming in offended or people are just holding on to things.
And that's a difficult thing to pull off in a body of 435 people in a climate that is politically as bifurcated as it is. I mean, what do you think the key to finding consensus, to finding middle ground as opposed to these extremes?
Yeah, I believe the number one thing is authenticity, but then also relationships. Relationships are very, very important. And building those relationships and doing the work before going and getting elected to Congress. Also, having the ability to be able to show up in multiple different ways, not just as a politician. When I show up, I'm not usually campaigning. I'm usually doing the work, whether it's as a poet, whether it's as a facilitator. And so I would take that same skill set into Congress and onto Capitol Hill. And I have a huge personality, right? But it has to be toned down, because what would happen is I'd hijack this administration and make it about me. And that's not who I am, and that's not what I do. And I believe that I just have the skill set. I have the anointing. I have the grace to be able to, and I'm called to government, to go into the halls of Capitol Hill and do great things for this entire district.
And do you have the financial support that you would need to mount an aggressive general election campaign?
Yes, I do have the support. Right now, as I said, we have 20,000 individual contributions, a little over $450,000, which is amazing for me, up here in Western Maryland. I have the ability to call. My call time is calling people that have given $5 or $10 and asking for 5 or 10 more. And I can do that. I'm not maxing out donors. The people around me are not giving me the max, and I can't go back.
Mayor Takesha Martinez is the mayor of Hagerstown. She is running in the Democratic primary in the 6th Congressional District. And Madam Mayor, I'm sorry that we've run out of time and we can't ask you to share some of your poetry with us, but perhaps we can do that on another occasion. But I'm very grateful for your time today, and we'll see you out there on the campaign trail.
Yes, thank you so much.
Mayor Takesha Martinez of Hagerstown. Again, she's running in the primary in the 6th Congressional District. You can hear all of our conversations with the candidates when you go to our website, WIPR.org/midday, and when you subscribe to our podcast. Our series continues next week. On Monday, I'll speak with State Senator Clarence Lamb about his candidacy in the 3rd Congressional District. Here and Now is coming up after news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for listening. Stick around and have a great day.
This is 88.1 WIPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.